This is where we hold them! This is where we fight!
Now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.
Rob, what's good, homie?
Oh, Mike, there's a lot of bowling going on this week, man. I know you've been out there. We'll talk a little bit what's going on over it. And by the way, just FYI, I'm not calling it Bolero. It'll always be Carolier. It'll always be Carolier. So if anybody hears me calling it Carolier this week, you know, that's what it is. What's good,
always everybody? Carolier.
Always will be
Carolier. Always Carolier. It's still on Carolier Lane.
Oh, is
it? The street out. They've redone, like, remember you used to have to turn right from Route 1 into Carolier's parking lot. It was actually quite dangerous that. Turn. Because cars would be going 70 as you're trying to slow down and turn into the lot. So quite a few years ago, they redid that whole area. And I got to say, it's pretty well done. They basically built an off-ramp that connects to Route 130, which is a local highway there, like connects Route 1 and Route 130. And then there's now like a light and a big intersection, and you go through that intersection, and then you're on a separate street that's right outside Carolier. And guess what the name of the street is? It's Carolier Lane. Yeah,
so. Hey, let me ask you. I was trying to get this answer in the chat this morning, but you ain't getting any answers in that chat at Bowl TV. Is the diner still there across the street? You know, the one diner that used to always go after?
Yeah, it's still there. I don't know if it's called the same thing, but it's still there, yeah.
Dude, that place was always all on fire, man. They got the... Dude, those Jersey diners, man, that's the one thing that I regret, like, moving out of the East Coast, man. You get those just straight diners, man, with those burgers and, oh, the steak fries, man.
It's on the opposite side of Route 1, correct. Right? Yes, I think now it's called the Omega Diner.
Oh, right.
I don't know if it was always called that. I feel like we would have remembered that because of the Omega Bowling Ball, but...
All right. Yeah. No, I was just wondering because, man, I had some good memories going there late after a tournament would be over and hitting that up because those were always open, like usually really late or even 24 hours. So anyway. All right, Mike, you don't have any league review, right? You're done.
League is done for me for a little while until I start summer league, I feel like.
Got it. All right. Well, I got 2 weeks to talk about. So we're done. Our league is done. But I got to talk about my last 2 weeks because it's amazing. We bowled on 1 and 2 2 weeks ago. And man, I had a good reaction. 790 I bowled. I had the front 10 the second game and I stoned an 8-pin. God only knows, like, I could actually wanted to shoot 300 just once in that league. But it wasn't meant to be. Just, you know, one of those weeks where it was a position round and we really wanted to win and move up some spots to try to get more money, right? Because every spot we moved up, we'd get an extra 50 or 100 bucks a person. And, man, I brought it. I brought the heat. I wasn't effing around, honestly. Like, I was serious business. So we ended up, like, taking, like, 30, like, points out of 35. Come to find out, we finished third overall in the whole, like, league and the overall standings. But we didn't make the playoffs. It was like, I couldn't even understand it. And nobody could explain to me, nobody could explain to anybody on my team why we didn't make the playoffs. It was like, you had to win your split. So obviously we didn't win, but they took, I believe, 5 teams for the playoffs. And keep in mind, if you make the playoffs and you win, you could get an extra like 500 a person or 400 a person. So whatever, we got screwed somehow. I don't know what happened. And then, yeah, there was sweeps this last week. And, man, we hit 5 and 6, and I just couldn't strike. It got to the point, Mike, my last game, I put this on Twitter because this is kind of funny. I brought in three balls. I said I was going to bring in six last week, but I didn't. I brought in three balls, and I couldn't strike. It just didn't matter. I pocket 7-10'd twice, back-to-back shots the second game after going 240 the first game. I'm like, oh, here we go. Everybody was using surface. I knew we were getting a wet-dry pair now. Started just flat 10-ing, 2-pin, flat 10, 4-pin. It was a nightmare. Shoot 160 the second game. Just absolute nightmare game. Last game, going into the ninth frame, I already left 5 10-pins in like 8 shots, okay? I bet my teammate that he bet the over and under 7 10-pins. So essentially, I had to leave 2 10-pins in the ninth and 10th frame. I took that bet, easy money, right? Of course, what do? Strike, first shot at 10th, I flat 10, and the pin comes over and it knocks the 10 out. I'm like, you gotta be effing kidding me. Anyway, long story short, I struck out 20 something for sweeps. I didn't even stay around. I knew I didn't make any money. Finished third. I'm done. You know, happy to be done because of the fact that Tuesday nights was a long drive for me, late night for me getting home. But man, shouts to my team. Had a great time. You know, Bruce, TQ, Russ, Greg Brooks, man, we had a blast bowling together. It was awesome. Haven't bowled league in years, and those guys made it fun. Those guys would always get in a fight about basketball, Mike. I swear, the arguments and fights about who's the best player is, the Mount Rushmore of basketball, just the yelling and screaming at each other. Dude, it made it fun. I wish I could, you know, those are the type of experiences I wish you could put on like YouTube of just like, forget the bowling, of me fighting about LeBron being better than Jordan, and then, you know, who the best team of all time is, and just, you know, those arguments you always get in the league and fighting, and then, anyway. Yeah, so that's my league review.
See, if you bowl league with me, I like to argue passionately too, but about bowling-related stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Not as fun.
Right. Well, me and you bowled in league, and we were bowling with, let's just say, like friends of ours growing up. Maybe it was me, you, and Bill O'Neill bowled together on a league. I couldn't even imagine the arguing that would be going on between the teams. You and Bill would be probably at each other's throats. Me and Bill would probably be, I would be talking so much shit. You know, and actually thinking about it, we would definitely bowl league if I was living in your area. It would be a blast, though. I mean, we would be fighting and yelling, and I'm sure we would have a lot of East Coast type fights. You know, all fun, though. We're not really fighting seriously. Well, maybe you would be, but like with other teams. But, you know, over and all, it would be so much fun.
Patch Pirates. Anyway.
Patch Pirates everywhere. We would be talking all kinds of shit to the Patch Pirates. Anyway, Mike, so enough about league review. You were at Carolee, right? You've been there for a couple days. I saw some pictures, Swoop the Rack representing. I heard you're going to be on Bowl TV commentating tomorrow for a little bit. I'm probably not going to be able to watch it because it's going to be during the day and I'm going to be at work. So give us the breakdown, Mike. What is going on at Carolee at Bolero Mesa right now in New Brunswick, New Jersey?
PBA it's not Bolero Mesa. You called it Bolero Mesa.
I'm saying it's Carolee, but for the people
it's Bolero, out there who North don't know, Brunswick.
It's Carolee. It's Bolero, North Brunswick.
No doubt.
What are you seeing out there? I want to hear all the breakdown of what's going on.
All right. Well, let me talk about this first. To me, this was the topic of conversation. If you were around me tonight, particularly, and I hate to say this, bro, I really
Uh-oh.
Do. This is like painful for me to say. Ooh. I'm not even fronting when I say that. The vibe of Carolee might be gone, bro.
What do you mean? Okay, so explain like what's happening over there. Is it there's nobody like, there?
Let me hearken back for a minute.
All right, let's like, go to the time machine.
To like the mid-90s.
Okay? Let's go. Get in that time machine, the DeLorean.
And like, going. If there's anything that stands out to me about going to Carolee and watching the Johnny Petraglia Open, okay, which was the original PBA tournament that was at Carolee.
My favorite.
It was always the old-style format. right? 18 games, 24, cut to 24, 24 match play.
Position round cut to five, Friday night. Right?
Position round Friday night.
Hypest position round ever.
No. Position round was Saturday night. Well, no, you might be right. I think it was Friday night. You're right.
Yeah, because they had Saturday was press day, and then Sunday was the show.
Was the show, right? Okay, so I remember the bleachers. You remember the bleachers.
Couldn't even get a seat on the bleachers Friday night.
Couldn't even get a seat on the bleachers. People would be packed. The bleachers would be packed, and then people would be packed four deep. Okay?
In the rows. You'd be like in between the rows. You'd be like this. You'd be like.
Yep. Packed in. Four deep.
Okay? I remember jumping. I remember the kid jumping, right? Trying to see shit.
People standing behind the bleachers, peeking through people to try and get a view of a match. Okay? If you wanted to see a premier match, you better get there a game early at least.
Game early,
or you weren't getting anywhere within two pairs of that match.
Oh, man. Bring it. Give him chills, Mike. I'm getting chills.
Then I think about U.S. Open at Carillear. Mm-hmm. Very similar experience. Very similar. I mean, almost the same thing. You know. Then I think about Masters at Carillear. And again, very much the same thing. Bleachers set up. Large crowds, four deep, etc. Okay. And Rob, the thing that I noticed the most while I was over there the last two nights, but particularly tonight, is just the lack of crowd. I mean, I'm upset, bro. Like I'm a little crushed, to be honest with you, because it just always was such a vibrant time over there. Like it was just a great, vibrant, bowling centered time, and so I don't know, man. Like there's just the crowds just really aren't there. You know, there's not many people there to watch. Like Bill had a decent crowd there following him, cheering for him. Matt Russo, local kid, bowling great, by the way. Shout to him. Has a crowd following him. Not surprising. Packy has a little crowd following him. Not surprising. He's from Massachusetts, right? Not too far away. Family probably came down. Belmo obviously has a crowd following him. But other than those instances, like it really wasn't all that, you know, all that I expect Carillear to be for a professional bowling event venue.
Okay, so let me ask you on that. Let me ask you, is it because it's a Thursday night? Is it because of the format of the event? Is it because
I don't know? It's funny. I had conversations with four or five people tonight about the same thing. We talked about the same thing. You know, I'll give a few. First of all, let me say this: I'm hopeful that tomorrow that changes. Right, I am. Friday. I'm hopeful that it changes on Friday.
Match play.
I'm hopeful. No, there's no match play.
See, that's kind of.
Well, listen, that was going to be my next point is like the format doesn't really lend itself to the excitement for the viewer. There are no, everybody's just bowling games. That's it. They're just bowling blocks of games and making cut, bowl a block of games and make a cut. So like there's really, especially when you're there, and I'll say this, I feel like with this format, it's a better experience for the fan to watch it on bowl TV than it is to be there in person. Because when you're watching on Bowl TV, they're giving you the rundown of who's where and what's, you know, what this guy bowling a great game, where's that going to affect things? Like they're really good at keeping up with the impact of what's going on out there. And when you're just watching, like you're clueless basically until the scores come up and they update them for the game, you're somewhat in the dark about what's going on out there.
So hear me out here. Okay? Because I know you had a lot of conversations, but you haven't had a conversation with me about it. Now, let me give you a suggestion if you think this would help the vibe and the hypeness of a live show or a live event for people showing up there, okay? Best 4-7 matches, okay? You could bet on it in Jersey now, right? You have Bet Rivers on site, right? Promoting the app, right? You could be in the crowd betting on matches before they start, right? And now you have a best 4-7 where it can really get pretty hype up for a live event. I mean, You think that would change the vibe?
It might. It might, but here was one of my and I want to bring this up real quick and answer this. Lou, what's up, Lou? Says hate no match play, but I believe that was something pushed by the players, wasn't it? It was, and I wanted to make this point. Like, listen, you know, I appreciate what the players want. I do, right?
But the players want the fans.
It ain't about the players, bro.
It's not about the players.
It's about the fan. I mean, there's a line. There's a line. Right. There is a line. I mean, we're not, we don't want a circus show. Nobody wants that. Right.
I do.
But once you establish that standard of what it needs to be at a minimum, you gotta give the fans a more entertaining product, guys.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Like I love this more than anybody out there. Right. And like, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's cool. But it's hard to follow, and it's hard to really invest in what's going on because it's really hard to follow, you know, especially when you're there watching live. Here's another thought I had. It's been 10 years since Carolier has hosted an event like this. Is it possible that the bowling community has just taken that much of a hit in the last 10 years?
Absolutely. Yeah.
To where, like, you've lost a lot of the – you've lost a majority of the fans who would come out and would support it. And here's another point. Rob, it was only $5 to get in. It was only $5 to get in. I felt like a scumbag because I actually asked a bowler to put me on their list, and I was embarrassed if they found out it was only $5. They're going to think I'm a broke, cheap idiot. I mean, it was $5 to get in. So, like... yeah, Rob, when you used to go to Carolier, you know, even 10 years ago,
kept me on that list.
How
kept
many
on that list?
It was $30.
I know the
it
list
was $30 to get in. Okay, and how many high school kids would be there? Place would be filled with high school bowlers, varsity jackets all over, kids walking around with pins trying to get them signed. I mean, Rob, I maybe saw a dozen or two tonight. Maybe
half the Jersey JBT conference would be there. We would be there. All of us would be there, right?
Yeah. So I you know, listen, I'm just throwing thoughts out there. You know, I don't really.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Was there a lack of promoting? Which I already know the answer to this.
I thought yes, but here would be my retort to that. Was there a lot of promoting when they were packing the house in the past? I don't really feel like there was.
No, but...
but I will say this. I mean, how many Bowlero centers are within driving distance of Carolier? I can think of a half dozen right off the top of my head, and that's not even really thinking much about it. If you go an hour's distance, it's got to be a few dozen. Like, yeah, should there be some kind of promotions going on there? Like, hey, we have this tournament not too far away. Go check it out. You know? I don't know. I mean, this is an interesting point, too. That Kevin brings up, you know, that it's not exclusive to bowling, that the in-person experience isn't as good as watching on TV, whether it's expense, HD broadcast, access to information. I'd rather watch things on TV. I don't know. Kevin, I agree with you if the hypeness isn't there. But to me, the awesome part of, like, I went to the Game 5 of the World Series this year, and the best part about it was being amongst the crowd, being amongst the excitement of that level of game, right? And I believe that in the past, Carolier used to have that, right? And there was something special about going there and watching. And I think there still is. I just don't think that people are appreciating it as much as they used to. Or, I mean, if I had to choose one of those options, Rob, that we just talked about, I would say that it's the decline in the bowling community, bro. I think that
around there, like the I'm talking not your like sport leagues. Like, do you see a lot of decline in like the local house leagues?
I don't know. It's hard to say because I probably didn't have my finger on the pulse of what it was like if it was better in the past. You know what I mean? I didn't really have a handle on what that was, what that picture looked like. But I don't know, man. You know, I'm hoping for different tomorrow, bro. I am. I hope tomorrow. You know, I guess 5 o'clock is a little early. Tomorrow starts at 5:30. You know, so I'm hoping. It says that the shows are sold out over the weekend.
Well, the shows. That's the other thing I was going to bring up is I feel like the most exciting part of the tournament is the single game matches, but they're taped on TV, and I'm not going to complain about bowling being on TV. I mean, obviously you want it live. It's a better watching experience when it's live, but I feel like the most exciting part of the tournament is going to be the single game matches on Saturday.
Yeah, but and again, you just kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit, even though if you look on the PBA website in the right place, you can find the information. The Saturday shows for this tournament are taped. So there's going to be no betting on those shows. And
maybe the first match they might
they're not airing until 10 p.m. at night on FS1. They're going to be taped at 4 in the afternoon. So that was somewhat disappointing, you know. Lumberflex will asking if I'm going to be in the booth. Yeah, we talked about it. I think tomorrow during the early block, I'm going to jump in with those guys for a game or so. But they were nice enough to invite me in, so shout to them. And I want everybody to know, I want all the Sweep the Rack crew to know that your boy, Big Mike, I spread love from all of us. I'm showing up tomorrow with 6 Italian hoagies from the best Italian deli in the whole area for the Bowl TV guys. So Sweep the Rack, Pete, and I'm going to tell them it's from the Sweep the Rack people. So we're taking care of people. We're showing love. So listen, that was my big observation. Okay. I know it's not about the bowling, and you want bowling observations, I'll give you a half dozen in a minute. But that, honestly, I hate to say it, but that was my big observation. Rob, do you remember pulling into the parking lot at Carolier for the Johnny Petraglia Open match play block and not being having to park across the street and walk across the street?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no, bro, it was like I pull right in. I'm parked right outside the door. Like, I'm right here. Mm. You know, I that was the first thing I noticed when I went last night. I mean, said, man, the parking lot looks a little empty for there being a tour event here.
I mean, you would think someone like EJ Tackett is the hottest player in the world right now and player of the year lock would have a huge crowd following him, right? And
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, that's it. Lou in the chat was saying, I'm making him sad. How do you think I feel, Hoss? You know, I mean, this is like highlight of the year stuff to me. And it doesn't really change it for me because I still like to hang out and watch and all that. But it does change the vibe. That's why I started out by saying I think that the vibe might be dead. There's no bleachers. There's no bleachers. Bleachers are not up. So well, like
maybe,
if you're
maybe they
if
knew
you're watching, you're standing around. There's a giant shoe wall behind the desk, and the bowlers are bowling behind the shoe wall. So some pairs you can't even really see. You know. So yeah, like I said, there were just numerous observations I had about the experience there and like what it compared to from you know when the tour had been there previously. But all right, let me get off of that. Let's talk some bowling. Oh man, where do I even start? I was like making mental notes in my head of like things that I wanted to throw out there.
Urethane Fest again, that's my first observation.
Well, they're bowling on dual patterns. There is a lot of urethane going down the lane on the shorter pattern on the right-hand lane. Not as much urethane going down the lane on the longer pattern on the left-hand lane, but the exception to that is the lefties. The lefties are using urethane on both lanes, and they got it. I mean, not surprising if you're familiar with Carolier. Somewhat surprising because there's brand new panels installed downstairs. So, you thought maybe that would take some of that away, but traditionally Carolier tends to favor the left a bit. A lot of urethane going down on the left-hand lane. Just some observations I made throughout the night. Matt Russo's bowling great. Matt Russo at one point went like 278, 300.
Yes.
Yeah, back-to-back games. I mean, it was super impressive. He's bowling really good. He's got a whole crowd behind him, so he's feeling it. There's no question he's feeling it. Packy, kind of the same thing. He's got a big crowd behind him.
Purple Hammers. I mean, is it just pretty obvious? Is it Purple Hammer? Is it just all Purple Hammers?
Yeah, all Purple Hammers. Buttriff, Purple Hammer, whacking them. Okay, not even making spares. I was informed that he lost his spare ball. That he's had the same spare ball for numerous years. It was an oil-soaked resin ball that did not hook anymore. And he had used it for quite a long time. And he lost it.
Maybe
he misplaced it.
Wait, maybe he lost it with his shoes. Is that, you know, maybe his shoes. Is...
I don't know. He lost it. And he was using urethane.
I can't.
He was using urethane. And then he drilled up a spy spare ball. And in one game, I saw him miss two single pin spares. So that could definitely, it might not be a factor with the format for him making the show because 12 are making the show and he's up there. But it really might be, right, exactly. It might be an issue when it comes to how he performs on the show, you know, because it definitely seemed to be an issue there tonight. There was a little controversy tonight. There was a little controversy tonight, and I know that I heard them talk about it on Bold TV, so I know it was mentioned. Cody Shoemaker shot 260 the last game. Actually, everybody on his pair bowled great. It was him, Packy, and Chris Vi on the same pair. Chris Vi is another, I mean, he whacked them tonight. Every time I looked around, he had 5-6 in a row. Thomas Keiko, same thing. Really, yeah, especially late in the block, whacked him. He really impressed me. You know, I know I don't like, I still don't like his style, but he impressed me with what he was doing out there. So Cody Shoemaker shoots 260 the last game. And Ramsey Biserto needed to double to jump Cody Shoemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And he went up and he did not double. And as he was throwing his second shot, Shoemaker, who had gone down to get a ball from the other end of the bowling center, was walking past and like paused for a minute, watched him throw the shot, saw him miss, and then gave a really demonstrative, yeah, that's right. That's right. And I mean, I was looking around. There was it definitely raised some eyebrows. I'll say that. Okay, definitely raised some eyebrows. I mean, Rob, you know, this is like there's unspoken rules out there, I feel like, okay?
And they need to throw those rules out the window because I'm all about it.
Rob, I said the same thing. We need that. I said to somebody, I said, I want to see a match with this guy on TV where there's no hug before the match. Okay, where there's a cool, quick handshake where it's clear that neither of these guys likes each other, right? So is it the most sportsmanlike thing to do? No, I mean, especially behind the guy's pair, you know. I feel that. But, does it create that hypeness a little bit? Yeah, it does. It's a shame. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough for Shoemaker to make a run from 24th tomorrow because they're cutting down to 18 after six games. So,
could you imagine if he did that on TV?
Oh, Rob, we talk about that for a whole episode. Are you kidding me? It would actually give us some drama to talk about.
And if it was against somebody that, you know, we know that wouldn't really appreciate that, maybe, you know, somebody like a Sean Rash, right, or a Simonson, right? I feel like it would be like, it would be pretty good emotion. It would be pretty good TV, in my opinion.
No doubt. Okay, so that was definitely something that I observed and wanted to comment on.
I got to pull this comment up. First time, Ole boy, I hope I said that right. That ain't a one-off for Cody. He doesn't make many friends bowling. I bowled with him since we were kids. Sounds like we need to get Shoemaker on the show pronto. Let's get this guy, you know, striking out there. We need a good villain, Mike. It sounds like Shoemaker might be a good villain out there. I like it. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, anything
just have consequences. Oh, don't worry. Let's see a side match with Bowl TV, Ramsey Barusto against Shoemaker. You know, best out of three, you know, for 1,000. I guarantee you that would be better streaming than watching them bowl like 60 games of qualifying.
Fair, fair. Let's see, what other observations did I have? The left looks good. I'm not going to lie. The left looks good. EJ Tackett, man. EJ Tackett, bro.
This guy is unbelievable. He's on another planet right now.
Dude, all this guy does is strike, bro. like opens don't even matter.
No, he just like
they don't matter. They don't matter. It doesn't matter. If he's on it, it's 8, 9, 10 strikes a game. Yo, every game.
Reminds you of when Mike Tyson was in his prime. It didn't matter if you hit him. Like, he was walking through and he was knocking you out. Like, it didn't matter. Like, there was, you know, that's what he's in, that like Mike Tyson prime like mode. You know what I mean?
Watching him last night and tonight, you know, I gotta say, like, just super impressive, bro. Super impressive. Like, great to be able to,
isn't he? I mean, he's just a great spare shooter too.
To be able to throw it the way he throws it and repeat it the way he repeats it is just unfair. Super impressive, because he has the kind of style where, and again, I mean, I'm being hyperbolic here almost, but he has the kind of style where you almost expect him to throw one out the window.
Right.
Frequently, because he's sort of like out of control a little bit almost.
Oh, he's super aggressive. Oh, yeah,
super aggressive, right? And I just, to me, he has that kind of style where I'm always expecting him to just like get one a little quick, get one a little right, and it's pick three, it's washout.
Well, the history, then, like growing up,
he bowling, just don't like, miss.
Yeah,
it just doesn't happen, bro.
Think about it, Mike. The history we bowled when we were younger, growing up, and all the power players, guys like Mark Roth, who Louis Gaudio brings into the chat room, which, by the way, EJ Tackett is having a lot better of a year than Mark Roth had in 78, especially if he makes the finals of this thing. You always expect the big power guys, right? Now, think about the power players in general in the history of the game. You know, you could bring some of the biggest power players, like, you know, guys like Jason Couch and, you know, Michelle Feldman. I'm talking women bowling, right? Like, you always, Robert Smith, right? You always expect them to not be as accurate as Walter Ray or Norm Duke, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. of their style. I think that's where Belmo started. Like, that's where he started this kind of like level, right? This new level is that I could get 500 RPM and I could be dead accurate and hit the same spot twice and I could make spares, right? And I think Tackett right now is kind of on that, like Belmo
total set package.
Well, Belmo set the bar, right?
Yeah.
And I think now Tackett didn't like the fact that Belmo was winning all, you know, was doing all these things, and Tackett was like, "Nah, fuck that! Like, I'm gonna get just as good, if not better, than Belmo. I have a higher rev rate with one hand. I'm gonna be just as accurate. I'm gonna be just as good as a spare shooter." So yeah, I mean, Belmo set the bar, and now Tackett is like, fuck that. I'm going to take your bar and I'm going to, you know.
And you just said something very interesting there that I wanted to comment on myself. And bro, he's one-handed.
I know.
He's like, this dude is like on a mountaintop with all the two-handers running up the mountain trying to take him out. And he's the one-hander who's just holding down the fort like, nah, it ain't happening. One-handed bowling is still ruling here, okay? And it's because of him. If it weren't for him, would a one-hander have won a tournament this year? Did Dom Barrett win one?
Well, I mean, the lefties. I mean, like,
okay,
at some left side. But, like, I want to pull up James Schiffler. You know, good to see you in the chat, James. Tackett's always been good this year. He just learned to win. You knew eventually it was going to happen. You know, I mean, there was a lot of criticism. We gave him a lot of criticism, which was deserved. I mean, he's
warranted that criticism. No question.
This year he shut everybody up and said, sweep the rack. He said, fuck you guys. I'm going to win.
If you're criticizing him this year, you're nitpicking, bro. For real. Like, there ain't much there. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some one-handers that have won this year, but
Sam Cooley won. Okay, all right.
Sleepy Sam, so, I like it. That's a good nickname for him.
Belmo.
Okay.
He's lurking, bro.
He's always lurking.
He's lurking.
And Simonson.
You're right. And like, there's something I notice about them that's interesting to me. And it's almost like they're three quarters of the way. They're at least half, you know, if you include the shows, they're about halfway through this tournament. Okay. Maybe 65% through the way through this tournament. It looks like they haven't even started bowling yet, honestly. It's, you know, I know they are, I get it, but like just the fact that they've been in so many big spots and like so many finals and they're always in the hunt, and like it just seems to me that when they're out there bowling in a spot where for another guy this is like life or death, for them it's just like ho hum. It's like a regular Thursday evening here. You know what I'm saying?
I know, Mike. I want to post a comment because this is very interesting. Terry writes, "How did a guy with like 16 titles just learn how to win?" I think, in my opinion, it was the fact that we knew EJ Tackett had the potential of doing what he's doing now. I mean, we didn't. None of us predicted how great of a year he was going to have. I did predict him to win Bowler of the Year this year, if you pull out that show. But if you would have asked me that he would have this kind of year, I would have said no. I would have said he was going to have a great year. But yeah, he's won. I mean, yeah, don't get us wrong. Like, we know what he was doing in his history. But I think me and you realized how much potential he had to be better than where he was performing before this year.
Well, I mean, my answer to that would be a question like, are you going to tell me that he wasn't struggling on TV for an extended period of time? You know,
well, it was admitted. They talked about it. Like,
I know
Peterson talked about it.
So you can't. It's almost disingenuous to ask us that question, because regardless of what had happened before that period where he was struggling, there was a significant period of time where he was struggling to close the deal on TV. And in some of those instances, they were, you know, pretty obvious chokes, I'm going to say. And he has clearly shut the door on that, right? He gets, well, a guy like Tackett is going to get measured by a different standard, like a Simo, a Belmo, a Hall of Famer type standard, where, you know, you don't expect them to have those hiccups. And he did. You know, so, you know, like I said, Rob said it well. Like, he completely shut the door on that, you know. Let's talk about our boy a little bit.
Yeah, Bill likes that place. But Bill seems to, I know we talked a little bit about this. Bill, it seems, and we follow him closely. I follow him closely. I know a lot of his scores on a day-to-day basis. Bill just seems, right now, he's having a hard time finishing up blocks. He starts off really good, and then all of a sudden he just goes on this like 3 or 4 game, like his end of his squad is just, you know, he loses his carry, it seems like. He just is not able to like really like start finishing his squads up with like big scores.
Transition's tough out there. Caught a bad pair the last game, I would say. I thought, in my opinion, I mean, just judging by what was going on, he was crossing with Tom Daugherty.
Yep.
In the last game, Tom Daugherty was sliding in the left gutter, and I shit you not, this dude was lofting the ball halfway down the lane.
Really? What, on the left lane or right lane?
On the left lane, on the long lane. On the short lane, he was probably sliding, I'm going to say, somewhere between 25 and 30, and still lofting it to the arrows, but getting it extreme right. So, like, it's tough, bro. I mean,
it's not easy.
That is, it's almost a different game out there.
It is.
It is. It's like watching a different game to a certain extent.
You have to bowl at that level to understand the level they're on, honestly. Like, you don't really understand it until you do it. And I think my eye opening was when I bowled the World Series and I crossed with like Wes Mallott. Yeah, Five Guys is the shit. I love Five Guys.
I had to stop on the way home. I didn't eat dinner.
Yeah, that's why you
took it easy. I took it easy. I did a single.
You should have had those $25 chicken fingers at the Bolero.
Oh, man. Bolero, man. I ain't cheap, but most expensive place, bro. I won't go there without my discount card. Last night, I bought my daughter. My daughter went over with me last night to watch Bill. She wanted to go with me, so I brought her over there with me. And I got her pretzel bites and french fries. It was like $14 for pretzel bites and french fries. I was like, come on.
Oh, God, Bolero. I'm making my stock price rise. So what was I saying about Bill? Like, yeah, Bill, yo, he struck. Like, I mean, he's not going to be as good as an EJ Tackett or a Simonson or a Belmo when he's got to get his left foot by the left gutter, right? And I think, like, Ole Boy, I hope I'm saying that right. I almost think Bill gets stuck when the angles have to get steeper through the fronts, which seems to be a big thing on tour this year. I think that hits it right on the nail on the head, honestly. You know, he loses carry. His ball just uses up probably too much energy really quick. That's why I think you've seen a lot of success with him this week because, you know, he's able to, it seems, throw an urethane on the right lane. He's able to push it stay right.
Yeah,
you know, the left lane, the same thing, right? He's, you know, he seems to be, you know, obviously starting more left, but his break point is still was
pretty far right five, for a longer pattern. Yeah.
About five, right?
Yeah. And earlier in the week, I felt, because I've been watching on Bowl TV too, I felt like they, for whatever reason, they seem to hold up a little bit better throughout the squad, even though there were four on a pair. And now there's three on a pair. And they seem to be breaking down more radically for some reason. Could be the way they're starting, bowling balls, et cetera. They're also bowling in the basement, which has brand new panels. So I don't know, you know, how much that has to do with it. But yeah, that's pretty much all my observations. I mean,
okay. So let me ask you.
I'm not going to lie. This is kind of weird. I was debating whether I should even tell people this, but I had a dream last night.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you know I go to Rev Rates a lot. And the Russos, Matt Russo and his family, they are involved in Rev Rates. Okay, I'll leave it. I don't know what the arrangement is, but I know in some way.
What's Rev Rates?
It's the training center, Parker Bones Training Center.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay. I just known it as Parker Bones
Training Center. Yeah, it's what it's called. Sorry.
Okay.
So I've talked to Matt Russo's dad a few times when I've been there on practicing. We shoot the shit a little bit. And I went and watched last night, and like Matt and Bill were bowling right around each other, and they were both bowling well. And I went home, I went to bed, and I had a dream last night. And the dream was the show over the weekend.
Okay.
It was the final.
Okay.
And it was Bill's group in one section of the stands. And it was Matt Russo's group in the other section of the stands.
Okay.
And they were bowling each other. Mm-hmm. And in the dream, our groups were going at each other fiercely during the match. And like Matt Russo's dad was standing up and giving everybody the business. And then I was standing up and giving people the business. And Parker was in the crowd and he was sitting there. And he was even starting to get hyped up, okay?
His family, the kids were given business.
Everybody was involved, okay? Everybody was involved. And then I woke up. It was like a short dream. I woke up, and I saw, like, the dream. It was one of those dreams that, like, felt real. Mm. And I was like, oh, my God. Did that really happen? I thought, what day is it? And I said, no, all right, it's Thursday. I'm working today. Like, that couldn't have happened. But I don't know, man. I feel like... Are we on a collision course here? Are we on a collision course for Team Russo, Team O'Neill? Throw a little Team Packy in there, and I don't know, man. The shows this weekend could get seriously lit.
Question: so obviously, this format, the match play, the single game matches, it doesn't favor EJ Tackett. You know, it doesn't. Like, if it was a normal like round robin match play and a lot of games of qualifying, I would put EJ Tackett in the finals at this point, right?
Well, hold on. Because after that first – so if he qualifies where he's at now, he's going to get a bye to the second set of shows. And if he does that, it's not a one-game match. The second set of shows, I think, are a race to two.
Okay.
So and then does, the last set of shows
– good info.
I know the final is best of five. I don't know what the semifinal is. I want to say best of three, but I'm not sure. It might be another race to two.
Yeah, there's a lot of match play. I'm just looking at like the schedule here. It's crazy. Yeah. Okay, so all that being said, my follow-up to the question was, Mike, who's going to win? Who do you got? You were there. You watch a lot of bowling. Are you going to predict a lefty, or you think EJ is going to win?
No, those are basically your two choices.
Lefty or EJ. Belmo's Simo lurking. I mean, you know, you can't
I'm going based off of what I've seen so far.
Okay.
Right. And from watching so far. And I would say it's probably EJ or a lefty. And, you know, again, you're probably going Matt Russo, maybe Kevin Williams or Buttriff. Those would be my three right now that I would highlight for you. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd have to take EJ.
Okay.
Would I have to take EJ?
Fair point.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
We'll see. You know, I'm off tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow. I got a personal day tomorrow. Plans are on the desk. Can't wait. I'm going to be over there at 10:50 a.m. I'll be pulling into the parking lot, ready to watch at 11.
Are you going to go to the show that Bill makes if he makes it?
Okay, it's a good question. I'm going to try my best. I mean, you know, I want to be there.
Well, if he makes Sunday's show, you're for sure going to Big Fox.
Well, listen, right? I don't. So my daughters have a dance competition all weekend again this weekend.
Tell the wife.
But I talked to my older daughter yesterday, and I explained to her what's going on. She came over with me and watched, and you know, she has already kind of let me off the hook and told daddy it's okay if I want to miss a dance competition.
Sure, look at that. So I like it. Cool daughter. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that if he makes the show, I'm gonna be in the building.
Okay.
You know, so
well, we gotta get the younger daughter on board.
She's all right with my younger daughter's easy. My younger daughter probably doesn't even care whether I'm there or not. She's very emotionally like cocooned. My older daughter though, that could be a little bit of a meltdown if I make the wrong decision without saying that to her.
Ice cream always solves, you know, all that problems.
True.
Okay, so we got a lot of bowls.
I gotta put a caveat to my EJ pick because I was super impressed with how Matt Russo bowled tonight.
Okay.
And I feel like if I saw anybody that has the type of look to take to challenge him, to challenge EJ, it would probably be Russo right now.
So Matt Russo right now is +800.
Mm.
Right? That's pretty good, right? Mm. I have to put that bet in before Bet Rivers changes the odds tonight after we talked about Russo. In case anybody's wondering, EJ's +250. Simo's +500 still. Vi's 600. Butcher +700. Russo 800. Keiko 900. Belmo 1100.
Keiko at 900, bro.
Yeah, that's juicy, right? Don Barrett +1300. Bill +1500. And then you could just kind of go down from there. So a lot of games left. I believe it's 12 total games, and then they got the match play. And that could really – single game match play is kind of anybody's ball game, I'll be honest with you, on those Saturday shows.
Yeah, so, now don't forget that they're bowling down to the Final Four here this weekend. Then they're going to Delaware to bowl the doubles. Then they're coming back to bowl the Final Four next weekend. So,
So the live show – oh shit! So it's not on Big Fox this Sunday. It's on Big Fox next
Saturday. Yeah, it's, I think Saturday and Sunday.
Who is Bill bowling with on the doubles?
Belmo.
Is he? I thought they broke up in partners. Didn't they? Not
they?
Bowl last.
They didn't. They bowled last year.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking them touring roommates on tour. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I would ask that. I don't know. That's curious.
I'd be surprised if they're not bowling together.
Bill's not letting that go. Yeah. I wonder who EJ is bowling with. Yo, if I was EJ, I would get with Simo and be like, bro. Like,
wow, Belmo's +1100.
Yeah, you always got to take him, right? Great. That's good odds.
+1100.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, Mike. Well, hey, man. Great job out there being the on-site reporter for Sweep the Rack. You know, I'm jealous that you're there and I'm not, but there's a little bit of fan in me that is you talking about the vibe not being great and me kind of happy that I didn't go. Because if you would have told me it was off the chain and it was lit and we were betting and we were fighting and yelling, and I'd have been like, oh man, like I should have went. But EJ Bowen with Marshall Kent, I would, yeah. I mean, if I was EJ, I'd be like, yo, Simo, like, let's get that title. You know, but we'll see. It's the doubles is always a fun tournament to watch, FYI. The home doubles tournament. So, all right, Mike, anything else you want to talk about on the PBA Players Championship, or you want to give a worst of the week?
Let's give the people what they want, son. All right, you want to go first, or I want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first because I always expect a good worst of the week from you, especially you being out there. I'd imagine you probably seen or heard some shit. Maybe might give us some of that. But yeah, my worst of the week goes to Deviate Bowling Fans group page on Facebook. It's a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Clark, who is also the moderator. I believe he's a patch pirate. You know, he's got his Patch Pirate shirt on. He's holding up a picture of his troublemaker, and it's like smiling, and he's like got his Brunswick shirt on, right? He's making some weird face.
I think he might be a pro shop guy from up in Maine. Okay. That name sounds familiar to me, but okay.
Okay. His post is, and I think you're gonna like this more than anybody. Troublemaker makes me look good again. My misses just seem to find a way to strike. Loving it. And he puts on his scores. Like, he bowled some, like, state tournament in Maine. You're right. It was a Maine state tournament. Okay. And he talked about bowling his 800s. He bowled 800 here and 800 there. And he talks, like, in this big paragraph about how, like, he was missing and striking. And, you know, the ball was the reason why he was missing and striking. Jimmy, let me tell you something here. You run a pro shop. I get it. Trying to sell equipment. I get it. It's not the bowling ball. The reason why you're missing and striking is because the lanes are walled up, my friend. I could throw anything and miss and strike. It doesn't matter. I understand you're trying to sell balls. I respect the grind, but Mike, it gets to the point where you shouldn't miss and strike. You know, you should bowl 800 if you were missing and striking.
There's amazing. A guy, local guy, Jersey, Pennsylvania guy named Pete Tomorrow. Shout to Pete. A lot of people know that name if you're local. And he was there the last two nights watching Bill. And he's from the Levittown.
Could be anybody,
area.
Kevin.
knows Bill very well. And I had a conversation with him tonight about all the ways that the increased easiness of the house shots have negatively impacted bowling.
Oh, you got in with that conversation.
This was deep. a two game sitting next to each other.
That's deep.
Back and forth conversation. Okay. And yeah, I mean, it's a long list. I'm not going to go into it now, but it's a long list. Yeah. All right. So, you know how I feel about that. Yeah. Obviously you could tell how I feel about that worst of the week, but all right, I have a worst of the week, and this is an interesting one because it's a local to me. So I always feel like I take a risk if I use someone local in a worst of the week, because there's a chance they're going to hear about it, or somebody's going to be like, yo, you know that fat dude who does the bowling podcast? He made you worst of the week, son. But I'm doing it. I'm sorry. And actually, there's multiple people. It's one post, but there's multiple people who are winning worst of the week on this post. Okay. Love it. The original post is by Mark Collinari Jr. Okay. I know he's like local central North Jersey guy. I believe he bowls out of Linden for the most part. Okay, so he comes on to the and just the Facebook page that he posted this on should get it worst of the week. It's the I am a 300-800 bowler Facebook page. Okay. Oh my God. There's actually a Facebook page out there called I am a 300-800 bowler. As if to suggest that there is something really special about being a 300-800 bowler at this point.
What does it have, like 50,000 members?
Oh, it's got like 1.2 million members.
I think. It's like 8 million members.
Yeah, it's everyone in bowling. So, okay. So his post goes as follows. His post goes as follows. Can't wait to see some of the hater comments on this one.
Ooh, that's a juicy way to start.
And here I am. Here I am. Playing right into it. Giving them words of the week. Okay.
Mike's ears and eyes are alive. Yeah,
being a hater, you might as well have like sent this directly to me in my email inbox if you start your post with that. Okay. So can't wait to see some of the hater comments on this one, but three consecutive weeks with an 800 in the same league, all with the IQ Tour Ruby. Okay. So that was his original post.
Okay.
Not too bad, right? I mean, really, because it's I am a 300-800 bowler. Okay. Yeah, like giving too much credit to the ball. But here's where it gets juicy. All right. This is where this worst of the week gets juicy. When you go down into the comments, okay? So I'm going to award some ancillary worst of the week awards here to some commenters.
I love it.
And I'm going to double down on my worst of the week for Mark Culinary Jr., right? So one commenter, Jason Jenkins, you get an ancillary worst of the week award here, Jason, says, why in hell would anyone hate on this fantastic achievement? Way to go, bro. Excellent shooting. Keep it going. Okay. Jason, you're clueless. All right. If you don't understand why people would hate on it, you don't know what's going on. Okay. Then Mark, the original poster, he posts back and says, and this is my favorite. This is what sealed it for me that this was going to be my worst of the week. He says, Jason Jenkins, there's always those, quote, the lanes are too easy, or, quote, back in my day people who come out. Jason Jenkins responds again and says, pure jealousy. Now listen, hold on. No, wait a second. Wait a goddamn minute. Okay. Are you dopes really going to tell me that the easy lanes have nothing to do with somebody shooting back to back to back 800s? I mean, come on, guys.
I know.
Come on. Like let's not be delusional about it. All right? For somebody to come out and say the lanes are too easy, guess what? It's because the lanes are too easy. Okay? You might not like hearing it, but it's the truth.
So let me ask you just a question. What were the haters saying when he was on that post?
Oh, like, There were no haters.
So they just like made up haters. Like
I guess maybe he posted before. Hold on, I'm not done yet.
Okay,
that's right, Charlie Tapp, enemy of fun, son.
Hater.
Call me in if you want to.
Big okay? Mike, the arbitrator of hating fun.
Mike Coonan. This doesn't get ancillary worst of the this particular part of the post doesn't get ancillary worst of the week. Mike Coonan comes on and asks, how many 800s is that for you now? Okay. Are you guys ready for this? Are you ready for this, son? The original poster, Mark, says 46. 46. And then the dude who asked him how many, he had responds and says, oh, I have 39.
Hey.
I mean, guys, doesn't the simple fact that you have 85 800s between the two of you say something in and of itself? Or am I out of line there? I mean, come on. Come on. You know what? And if it, you know, I'm local. Anybody takes, you know, once, listen, hit me up. Okay. Hit me up. All right. You want a bowl? You want to come out and see what they're like when they're tough? Hit me up. No problem. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, man, it's like, what are we going to get to the point in the bowling community where you can't say any, you can't acknowledge how easy they are, or else you're a hater, or you're downplaying somebody else's accomplishment? I mean, come on, it's a fact. Yeah. It's an unignorable fact that they're that easy. So come on, call it what it is. You know, just be honest about it. Call a spade a spade. All right, I'm done. This makes me laugh so hard.
That was worst of the year. This
makes me laugh so hard. That one worst of the year, actually, Terry. Yeah. The post from Reddit, the Reddit poster about sport leagues. Oh my
God. I clipped that out on our YouTube channel. You could watch it and favorite it when you could listen to that whenever you want.
It's just
that
so, makes me laugh. It's so good. It's even thinking about that makes me laugh. When he listed all the patterns and then ended it with an emphatic F that Mexico City, Singapore, Japan, F that. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so final thoughts, Mike. We do want to give a shout out to the PWBA. I know Nico's been looking forward to that for months. Nico looks forward to the PWBA like I look forward to opening of day of the NFL. So I know they start their tour, the ladies. We'll definitely be talking some PWBA women bowling for sure. Maybe we can get a couple of women on the show that we want to bring on. I love watching women bowling. I think women bowling has turned into a little bit more of a purer sport than the men's bowling has, honestly. Well,
it's more comparable to the game me and you play, that's for sure.
You know, so yeah, I definitely look forward to it. Okay, my final thoughts is, might be a little bit of a longer conversation here on the final thoughts, but drum roll, I've been saying it for a while, and I've been, you know, just as I was about to bring up string pins, John Stevenson in our chat is way ahead of me here. The USBC came in with a their own certification for string pins, right? This thing's been going, they've been researching this thing for years now, you know, since that, you know, those string pins has kind of became more of a Norman International play. And the USBC stepped back in 2020 and they said, we're not doing anything. We got to do some research. So they did a lot of research they've, you know, did a bunch of changes to some of the string pin lengths, right, of the strings. So essentially the USBC is trying to get the string pins as close to free fall pins as possible when it comes to the certification of it, right? What they realized is that their machines were being different. Machine to machine was actually different on how the pins were reacting. So now, according to, you know, and I used Jeff Riggle's 11frame.com as a resource here because he had a really good article about it. Right now that they're going to be essentially starting their own, like, I believe, like certification, kind of like sport bowling, Mike, when it comes to like averages, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Where you might have a string pin average compared to like a sport bowling average and whatnot. There's a lot of details. I don't want to get into it. It could be an hour episode talking about it. All I'm saying is this is the start of it. Believe me, guys, I've said it forever. Nobody wants to hear it. People say they're quitting, they're retiring. String pins will be the norm of bowling in the next 3 to 10 years. I'm just speculating at this point, right? There is too much economic advantage to string pins for the bowling centers. The lane men, right? The people who fix the machines, the energy of it, the breakdowns. there's just way too much cost advantage, half price, no overhead. Yes. So essentially now, will that help bowling in general? Will that drive the economics of bowling? Meaning, will more bowling centers open than close if you could cut your half of your overhead in a bowling center, right? Will it actually grow the sport? Maybe it could. The scores will go down according to the USBC. They said it was about a 10-pin lowering, a 7 to 10-pin lowering of an average, right? From free-falling to string pins. Being it from personal experience, bowling at B3, as much as I bowled at B3 in the last year, and that's all string pins, that is 100% accurate. The string pins are a lot harder to knock down. You can't throw messengers. It's just a lot harder to strike on a. Now, weird spare conversions might be up, right, percentage wise. But I wanted to bring it up in my final thoughts because I feel like this is just the start of what I feel like is going to be something that is going to be eventually taking over the bowling world, in my opinion. And we're just going to have to either quit the sport or deal with it. That's my final thought.
Steven Gatos in the chat. I was told by a Bolero person they will have recreation centers and competition centers. Interesting.
I don't believe that, in the fact that I can't imagine a competition center like making any money for Bolero. I mean,
well, that center would probably still offer recreational bowling, but by competition center, I guess what they would mean is free fall pins.
Yeah. See, I don't know why Bolero would even entertain that. If the USBC eventually is going to sanction them and it costs half the overhead, they're going to end up putting it in every bowling center, Mike. It just makes too much financial sense. You know, and they're a corporation. They're all about the bottom dollar. I mean, we all know that. I mean, we've all bowled in Bolero centers. They care about the bottom dollar more than they care about anything. So, yeah, eventually it's going to happen. They're going to be replacing machines. They're going to be, if they take over a new center, you know, it ain't going to be overnight, but it's going to be, you know, you will start seeing it eventually. So that's just my opinion. I'm just speculating.
All right. My final thought is quick. Let's go, Bill O'Neill.
Man, could he? Come on, Bill. I would love to see him make that final Fox show.
Let's go, Hoss.
I want to see Big Mike in the crowd yelling and screaming like the PBA playoffs in Maine.
For 100 Gs?
For 100 Gs. I want to see.
Listen, if he makes it to the 100 G match, I'm wearing the ski mask during the match on TV because we're just coming for the money, son. That's
it. Don't bring the mask. It's bad luck. He didn't do good with the mask. You got to do something different. Wear a sombrero, wear a cape. I don't know. Bring something different. You know, maybe one of your daughters, like, you know, if they have like a crown, a princess crown or something, I don't know.
coming in late with the comment of the night. Big Lou.
Yeah, we could talk for hours.
This is where the USBC is a scam. Their sole purpose is to uphold the integrity of the sport, and yet they cave to the industry every time.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to get into this debate, Mike, but could string pins actually be more of a legit playing field, like a more of a fair playing field than free fall?
No, I think it'll be a lower. It might be. I don't associate lower scoring with better playing field.
No, I mean fairer. I mean the way
I don't associate it with fair either.
I mean the way the pins are set up with the strings. Will it be? Like more accurate pin placements on the settings. I mean, I mean, there's a lot of questions I have, you know, but we'll hold this for a different time.
I want to say I'm not doing an episode on string pins. To hell with that. I'm not about that shit. I ain't even giving it the credence of doing a full episode on it on this show. That's a forum for bowling purists.
Until the PBA has a string pin event, which it's going to happen.
For sure.
Mark my words. You could put this, clip this. We'll talk about this episode. The next 2 years, there will be a PBA event on string pins. It will happen. Mark my words. bet on that on Bet Rivers.
That's about it. We hope everybody had a good time tonight. Sorry I was late. I'm over there tomorrow all day, 11 and 5:30.
Commentary. Let's go.
I'm going to jump in the booth.
Big Mike, Bull TV.
I'm
going
to jump in the booth. Rob, I'm bringing a couple rosin bags to give away.
Yo, okay, put it on TV, though. Make sure you get some airtime for those rosin bags, man. Like,
okay, for Lindy's bags. I am. I'm gonna get Lindy's bags a nice plug on Bull TV tomorrow, because he hooked us up, and I greatly appreciate him looking us out in the way that he did. So, yeah, listen, I'll be over there tomorrow. Hopefully I get to jump in the booth for a game or two. You know, I'm looking forward to enjoying the action. And even though it's not match play, it's a little hard to follow, et cetera, it's all right. I still like sitting. I still like watching. I still like seeing what's going on. So I hope the crowd's a little bit more hype. I hope it's a little bit bigger tomorrow night. If you're local and you're listening to this, yo, come on out. Come on out. Come join us. We're going to have a good time.
Yo, tell Mike Flanagan I said what's up. Tell him next time they come out to Phoenix to do an event, they better get me on the booth.
Follow us on social media. I'm at the 215th. He's at Brook and Rob 11. Hit the subscribe and like button for us here. Helps us out. We appreciate that. Don't miss our episodes. We will be back on. We'll be back on Sunday. Probably. Right? We'll be back on Sunday to sort of, you know, not only review the shows. I don't think we'll do our full rundown because the tournament ain't going to be over yet. We'll do that next week. But we'll definitely review the shows that take place over the weekend, right? We'll probably do a preview of the Final Four, I would imagine, too.
Yeah, thankfully for once in my life, I like living on the West Coast, because it'll start 7 o'clock my time, so it's a perfect time for me.
True.
If I'm home on Saturday night.
No doubt. Enjoy.
All right.
I'll be in touch. All right. Take it easy, guys.
Later.
You are now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.